Okay. Ups. Okay, you can repeat. Try to listen. Nivariyama. Let us stop. Samupecha. Going up to him. Madhavam. Krishna. Kim. What? Naha. To us. Akarishan. Will do. Kula. Of the family. Vrida. The elders. Bandhavaha. And our relatives. Mukunda Sangat. From the association of Lord Mukunda. Nimisha. Of the wink of an eye. Arda. For one half. Dushyajat, which is impossible to give up. Dayavena, by fate. Vidvamsita, separated. Dina, wretched. Chetasam, whose hearts. Translation. Let us directly approach Madhava and stop him from going. What can our family, elders, and other relatives do to us? Obviously, it's the gopis. Now that fate is separating us from Mukunda, our hearts are already wretched, for we cannot bear to give up his association, even for a fraction of a second. You going out now? Okay. So we'll see you. Yeah, you'll be back in town.
Back in town.
Oh, yeah, I'll be back 9:30, whatever. We'll leave at 10. So, purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Actually, it's not by Prabhupada. It's by the servants of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, who are empowered by Srila Prabhupada to continue his Srimad Bhagavatam. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur describes what the gopis thought. Let us go right up to Krishna and pull at his clothes and hands and insist that he get down from his chariot and stay here with us. We will tell him, don't bring upon yourself the sinful reaction for murdering so many women. But if we do that, said other gopis, our relatives and the village elders will discover our secret love for Krishna and abandon us. But what can they do to us? Yes, our lives are already wretched now that Krishna is leaving. We have nothing to lose. That's right. We will remain in the Vrindavan forest just like the presiding goddesses, and then we can fulfill our true desire to stay with Krishna in the forest. Yes, and even if the elders and our relatives punish us by beating us or locking us up, we can still live happily with the knowledge that Krishna is residing in our village. Some of our girlfriends who are not in prison will cleverly find a way to bring us the remnants of Krishna's food, and then we can remain alive. But if Krishna is not stopped, we will certainly die. Just close that. Heavy verse and purport. Anivaryama samupecha madhavam kim no karisham kula virpandava mukunda sangan nimishara dushyajaj daivena vidvam sitadina chetasam. Omagana Timiranda Shah Gananjana Shlakaya Chapsuran Miritam Pienatasma Ishigurve Namaha. So, of course, the context of this particular part of the Bhagavatam is that Akrura has arrived in Vrindavan. Akrura is actually known as someone who is not cruel. That's the meaning of his name, but he's the most cruel. And he's come to do something that's extremely nasty, which is to take Krishna out of Vrindavan. Of course, it's Krishna's desire that he leaves Vrindavan for a variety of purposes. I'm there, like we discussed the other day, the exoteric and esoteric purposes. The exoteric purpose, of course, is to kill his beautiful uncle, Kamsa, wonderful uncle, who has imprisoned his mother and father. Actually, his mother and father are Yashodamayi and Nandamaraj. There's this whole story told by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, it's quite interesting, confirmed, that Krishna was actually born from Mother Yashoda, not actually from Vasudeva and Devaki. What happened is that Vasudeva and Devaki, they had Vasudev Krishna. There's two words. There's Vasudev and Vasudev. Now, Vasudev is the father of Krishna outside of Vrindavan. And Vasudev is the name of Krishna, which means the all-pervading supreme personality of Godhead. Just like we say, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Not Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Anyway, so you have Vasudev and Devaki. And Devaki gives birth to Vasudev Krishna. And what does that mean, Vasudev Krishna? That means Krishna, an expansion of Krishna. Because Brijendra Nandana, Krishna, the original Supreme Personality of Godhead, never leaves Vrindavan. Although apparently here he's getting ready to leave Vrindavan. But he never leaves. He's just sometimes invisible, that's the point. It's like even right now, Krishna's here. He's dancing the Rasa dance. He's playing with the coward boys on the side of Govardhan Hill. He's on top of Govardhan Hill. He's lifting Govardhan Hill. Just we don't see it. It's invisible. There's a lot of things invisible to us in this world, even material things, like the microscopic creatures. Without a microscope, we can't see them. And also there's electrical impulses in the air, radio signals, television signals, and mobile phone signals. We can't see, but they're material and they exist. So what to speak of spiritual things that are far beyond the material realm, far more subtle than the material realm. And obviously we can't see them because we don't have the proper senses to see them. So Krishna is here. Whether you like it or not or believe it or not, Krishna is here in Vrindavan. So Krishna never leaves Vrindavan, that's the point. So Vasudev Krishna is not Brijendra Nandana, he's an expansion of Krishna. And so when Vasudev left the prison and the doors opened and there was the thunderstorm and everything like that, that was Vasudev Krishna who was bringing to Vrindavan. And the Brijendra Nandana, or Yashoda Nandana, he was born from Yashoda Mayi. And so what happened when he brought Vasudev Krishna to Vrindavan, the Vasudev Krishna merged into the Brijendra Nandana Krishna in Vrindavan. And so he thought he had actually dropped off Krishna, but actually he had dropped off an expansion of Krishna who merged into the... Anyway, he was... Krishna is the same. Advaita Chutu Nadir Ananta Rupa Majam Purana Purusham Navyovanam Cha. There's one God, and he just has different moods. So in the mood of Brijendra Nandana, he's always here in Vrindavan. And the mood of being the supreme controller, you know, Purichanaya Sadhanam Vidashaya Jadushkutam, he's outside of Vrindavan. And even Prabhupada said that when Krishna killed the demons, even in Vrindavan, it was actually as Vasudev Krishna. It wasn't as Brijendra Nandana. In other words, as Brijendra Nandana, Krishna, he doesn't kill demons. He just has intimate loving exchanges with the devotees. Because that's his pastime, intimate loving exchanges. And we can't say that he had an intimate loving exchange with Keshi demon, or with Arishtasura, or with, you know, any of these other demons. Maybe with Putana he did. But, you know, generally it's not like that. So, Krishna was born actually from Mother Yashoda. And many people don't understand that. They think that Devaki is the mother of Krishna, but actually it's Yashoda. So, Yashoda is the actual mother. And Devaki, of course, is also the mother, too. I mean, it's not that we're decrying or criticizing her motherly affection, because she gave birth to Vasudev Krishna. Okay. So, what is happening here is that Akrura is coming to take Vasudev Krishna out of Vrindavan. And One of the proofs of that is that when he took Vasudev Krishna out of Vrindavan rather than Brajendranand out of Vrindavan, when he stopped in the Vishram Ghat in the Jamuna River, he actually saw the form of Lord Vishnu. That's the proof right there. And one of the proofs, one of the many proofs. So here, the gopis are exhibiting, we were talking about exoteric. So that's exoteric is Krishna leaves Vrindavan to, you know, Pritranaya, Sadhana, Vinashaya, Chaturskritam. So esoterically, why is Krishna causing this cruelty to the gopis and to the other residents of Vrindavan who basically, as described here, this is the same thing as Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's statement that Nimisha Arda, the two words used here. Nimisha means the wink of an eye, or for one, and Arda means half. Like, so even for half a wink of an eye, which is the same thing as, you know, Jigayatam, Nimishena, same thing, isn't it? If we have Nimisha, Nimishena, in the Shikshashtika prayers, Jigayatam, Nimishena, Chakshusha, Pravishayatam. So it's actually, you can see that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, of course he's God, but he's actually basing his Shikshashtika prayers upon the Bhagavatam. You follow what I'm saying? Because he's actually, it's a commentary on the Bhagavatam. His Shikshashtika prayer is actually a summary of the whole Bhagavatam, the purpose of the Bhagavatam. So, Yugayitam Nimishena Chakshusha Prabhachayitam Shunyayitam Jagat Sarvam Govinda Virahename. So here it says, for we cannot even bear to give up his association even for a fraction of a second. So the question arises that here is cruel Krishna. And he's really doing, I mean, like you see, like not only Krishna, but Lord Ramchandra appears to be extremely cruel. I mean, let's take Lord Ramchandra, for example, that poor Sita Devi, you know, after she was tested, entered the fire, came out of the fire. Of course, it was Maya Sita entered the fire and the real Sita came out. But still, you know, still after all that time when some stupid washerman started to speak about, you know, his wife, and he wouldn't accept his wife back when his wife had just, like, gone to her friend's house or something like that, and he was criticizing Lord Ramchandra for doing that, then Lord Ram actually sends Sita Devi away, not just away, he didn't even send her to her parents' house. I mean, you think, you know, he's going to send her to her parents' house, which is not the best thing, but, you know, it's Hare Krishna. And even, of course, even in Indian culture, sometimes when a woman is pregnant, she's sent to her parents' house before to deliver the baby. So he sends his wife away, who is pregnant, just because some stupid washerman has actually criticized him. Huh? You know, what's happening here to the Lord? You know, why doesn't he just say, you know, the hell with the stupid washerman? Here's Lakshmi, you know. I'm not going to send her away, you know, and what cruelty to her. And so, of course, also there you have this exoteric and esoteric. Exoteric, it means he's setting the ideal example of a king. That he, because a king has to consider praja, all the citizens and even the animals, as Prabhupada said, to be his family, or just as good as his family. He can't discriminate, this is my family, this is not my family. So he's setting that example, what an ideal king, president, prime minister, dictator, whatever it should be. That's exoteric. So esoteric, in the case of Sita Devi and also in the case of the gopis, is that he's bringing them closer to him by this feeling of separation. I mean, even in English we say, separation makes the heart grow fonder. Of course, what we find in the mundane world when there's separation over a period of time, someone looks for another beloved. You know, we see this sometimes that someone is so devoted, wife, husband, and the other person dies, and then they end up like 5 years later getting remarried, which is really abominable. Or we see that sometimes when the spiritual master passes away, they have to find someone else to substitute as the spiritual master, and people leave ISKCON even as a result of that. So Prabhupada compared that. Of course, we read the other day the relationship of the spiritual master and the disciple, like the chaste wife when the husband passes away. So if there's real love, like in the case of the gopis or Sita Devi, then there's no question of actual separation. The intensity of Vipralamba brings the person closer. I mean, just like there's that whole story about Sita Devi, that the brahmacharis in Valmiki's ashram were doubting her chastity. And so Valmiki had this whole test. There's this Shivi Shagura. Remember that story I told? Shivi Shagura. Shivi means like a pigeon or something like that, a small bird. So there was a small bird once upon a time that, two birds actually. There was a male bird and a female bird, and the female bird came back late after catching some worms. And the male bird said, "Where were you? You were unchaste." And the female bird said, "Birds are not supposed to be chaste." And the male bird said, "Yeah, but this is an ashram." And she said, I was chased. And he said, "I don't believe you. Get the hell out of this nest." And so she said, "Please, please, please, you know, accept me back." And then he said, "Only if you fly over this like 80 miles long or 800 miles long lake without falling into it. Just a little pigeon." And so she did that by the mercy of the demigods, but she was a chaste pigeon. So the same test was given to Sita Devi to show the brahmacharis that she was actually chaste. So she was told that she had to basically fly over this whole sagara, which means like an ocean or a lake, big lake, without getting wet, and that's what she did. And then the brahmacharis were convinced. So, in other words, Sita Devi, because she said, if I've never thought of any other man other than Ram, let me remain untouched by the water. And, you know, she actually was so chaste like that. You find examples, even not only of Sita Devi, but of other ladies so chaste to their husbands. I mean, of course, there's Savitri and Sachivan, so many stories in the Vedic literatures. The wife of the Markandeya Purana, the wife of the man who had leprosy, she stopped the rising of the sun. I mean, so many examples of that. So, because of that chastity, then the gopi's separation from Krishna brings them closer to Krishna. So what does that mean for us? I mean, we're not gopis. And, you know, leaving Vrindavan doesn't give us such like feelings of separation. We're just thinking, oh, let me get back to my real life. My real work, to Sydney or to North Carolina. My real life. This is just something I do on the side. Anyways, what does that mean? What does that mean for us? What it means for us is that we should understand that we should be cultivating this mood of separation from the holy Dham and cultivating the mood of separation from Krishna, and understand what that thought of Krishna and the thought of the holy Dham and the chanting of Hare Krishna and the reading of the Shastras is all non-different from Krishna, so we're actually in contact with Krishna. So in other words, we can always be in the holy Dham if we're actually feeling separation from the holy Dham. That's the point I'm making by the class. That if we're feeling separation from Govardhan, of course, at the same time, I'm also bringing Govardhan with me, so that helps. It's like the gopis at the Rathiyatra ceremony dragging Krishna back to Vrindavan, so I'm dragging Krishna out of Vrindavan. You know, technically, you're not supposed to take Govardhan out of Vrindavan, out of Braj. But if you are always conscious of Vrindavan Braj and make wherever you're staying Braj, then he never leaves Braj. You understand? There's that injunction that Govardhan's not supposed to leave Braj. But if you're always in Braj by your consciousness, because to be in Braj means to be in Braj by consciousness. I mean, one could be here and not here simultaneously. Like Prabhupada said, wherever your mind is at, that's where you are. So if you're in Braj, in your heart, in your mind, wherever you are, then Govardhan has not left Braj, and you have not violated that particular injunction. So we should always maintain that mood of separation from Vrindavan, separation from Govardhan, and thinking of when we can actually get back to Govardhan and when we can get back to Braj. And in this way, we can actually be with Krishna all the time, like the gopis and Sita Devi. They were not actually separated from Krishna. Of course, they were in a painful condition, But that pain, that lamentation, that crying, that's part of the rasika exchanges between them and Krishna. Like we hear about the direct rasas and then also the indirect rasas, like ghastliness and humor and things like that, chivalry. And these actually flavor the direct rasa. So what you're seeing here is the flavoring of their rasa. It's like the, you know, garam masala, as we say in Fiji, the hot spicy masala means like a mixture of spices. So it's like the flavoring of their relationship with Krishna to make it more tasty by Krishna leaving Vrindavan. Because if there wasn't separation from Krishna at some particular time, the experience would not be complete. To be complete, there has to be meeting, separation, impending meeting, impending separation, you know, teasing, anger, man, you know, anger, that's another aspect of the indirect rasas. So Krishna's relation, everything has to be complete. Like a relationship in this world, there's so many aspects to that relationship. Just like when we were in Govardhan Parikrama, then, you know, the lady was yelling at the man. Remember? I think two or three times that happened, you know, the wife was just berating the husband, and I just think, this poor guy, I was ready to go in and console him, put my arm on him, but I don't think that would have gone too well. The lady would say, what'd you come into my house for? My husband, I'll tell him what to do. So, you know, sometimes you feel sorry. So therefore, that's a complete relationship sometimes where the wife gets angry at the husband. So Krishna has to have the same thing too, with the gopis getting angry with him, threatening him with a stick. So everything you see here in a complete relationship has to manifest in the spiritual realm to make the relationship complete and tasty. Okay, so that's all I have to say about this particular verse and purport. Okay, any questions? Yeah.
I'm just interested that I can distinguish and say Vasudeva, where is this line about the, which letter?
Well, which letter?
A, okay. So Krishna's with a line.
Long A.
Okay.
Krishna is Vas. Krishna outside of Vrindavan is Vasudev Krishna.
So it's Vasudev
Vas. Vasudev. Vasudev. Can you hear the difference?
It sounds very similar.
I know it sounds similar, but you got to listen to the difference. I'll just overemphasize it.
Yeah.
Vasudev is Krishna.
I mean, I understand.
Vasudev is the father.
Like Vasudev, Vasudev.
It sounds very similar. Vasudev, Vasudev. I said it differently, but it sounds the same. Vasudev, Vasudev. Vasudev, Vasudev. You see the difference? I mean, if you're not attentive, I mean, sometimes even I mix them up because I'm not always thinking of the difference, but Vasudev is Krishna. Goth, that's the name of God. Vasudev is not a name of God. Vasudev is the name of Krishna's father outside of Vrindavan. Vasudev is the name of Vasudev's father. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
All right. Anyway, it's an interesting thing. So that, of course, that is all in the commentary of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. It's not in the Bhagavatam. It's in the commentaries of the Acharyas. But the commentaries of the Acharyas are part of the Bhagavatam, like Prabhupada's commentary of the Bhagavatam. And if you read Vishwanath Chakravarti's complete commentary on the Bhagavatam, Panu Maharaj translated that. It's very nice. You know, the 10th canto. On the whole Bhagavatam, the 10th canto. And he's called the Rasa Acharya, you know, so it gets into all these different details of the rasa. Rasa means like taste, tasty exchanges. Just like to have a complete meal, you have to have all these different tastes. You know, sometimes I'm lamenting because I don't eat sweets, then my meal is not complete. But still, I tolerate. But it's not easy. You understand? That's a good example for you. Yeah, that's a practical example for you. It's just like, you know, I'm thinking at the end, where's the sweet? Because it's not complete. My meal's not complete. But, you know, I understand I have to sacrifice that, but it's still frustrating because it's not complete. So,
dried fruit's a good compensation.
No, I don't take dried fruits anymore. So, and even if he gives me, like, these, you know, frozen things like that, I won't take them. So anyway, it's an austerity, and but it feels very incomplete.
Why are you doing that?
What?
Why are you doing that now?
Because I'm trying to protect my health, so you have me around for a few more years to haunt you.
But these dry fruits are just natural.
I'm trying to keep my sugar content really low. Simple sugar, simple carbohydrate content.
But aren't you also, you like those, I mean, sweets, you need sweet
time. No.
You mean for the health also?
No.
No?
Don't need sweets for the health. Because you get enough carbohydrates from other things. You get enough carbohydrates, you know, from quinoa has carbohydrates and the crackers I eat have carbohydrates and whatever. The fruit is so sweet in the morning.
Yeah, fruits.
Bananas, you know, I'm getting carbohydrates, that's another problem. But I'm just giving up like really condensed carbohydrates. Really simple carbohydrates. But, you know, the point I'm making is that it's not complete. The meal's not really complete. Isn't it? Because everyone, all around the world, people know that you have a dessert or something dessert sweet meal with the meal. I mean, that's transcultural,
yeah,
isn't it? Anywhere you go in the world, there's something sweet with the meal. So that's the rasa. Yeah, you got a sour, salty, bitter. You know, you have bitter melon. Bitter melon, sour, salty, you know, whatever other tastes are there. And the sweet has to be there. Otherwise, it's just, you know, it's just not complete. So the same thing with Krishna's pastimes. There has to be some sour, bitter, salty stuff. And it can't just all be sweet, you know. Krishna's pastime, I mean, Madhurya means sweet. But even the Madhurya has to have some bitterness to be complete. Does that make sense?
Perfect.
Yeah, when I use food as an example, he understands everything. Okay, I guess that's it.